Holy Scripture. Again, Matthew chapter 25, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. May God richly bless his word to our hearts. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again this morning about this whole idea of forgiveness, and we've been talking about it for the last three Sundays. I want to talk to you today specifically about the three hardest words we can say. The three most difficult words that could ever come out of our lips and out of our mouths. We speak difficult words sometimes. And we say things sometimes that are hard to say. But I want to suggest to you this morning that perhaps the three most difficult words of all, before God and before others, are very simple words. And those words are, I am sorry. I am sorry. How many times have we had to say those words? How many times have we had to speak those words? How many times have we had to go out of our way to make sure that those words were spoken with clarity, with conviction, and with heartfelt concern? We're in week three of our series of the four sides of forgiveness, and we've been looking at forgiveness in different angles. You remember last week we talked about, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness from God's perspective, that God is a forgiving God, that all of Scripture from Genesis through to Revelation is steeped so deeply with this whole idea that our God is forgiving to the point that He wants us to be reconciled to Him. He wants us to know and experience His forgiveness at every single turn. And then last week, we talked about the forgiveness of the importance of forgiving others. And today we'll look at the flip side of that, on that same coin, you know, when we need forgiveness. Now, forgiving others is hard. It's difficult. And anyone who has ever needed to forgive knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know where I'm coming from. And today we'll look at that. But where forgiveness is hard, needing to ask for forgiveness, is really just so much, much more difficult. You know, you don't hear presidents or prime ministers or kings or queens reach out to another country very often and ask for forgiveness. It happens sometimes. But on a personal level, when we ask for forgiveness, it is a tough thing to do. I've been there and I've done that. And I've learned so many times the hard way, so much of the time pride has gotten in the way. So much of the time pride has interrupted my relationship with other people, even the people that are closest to me. So learning to say we're sorry may not be the most natural thing for us to come out with on a daily experience, daily basis. But let me tell you, it is the most healing, most transformative experience one can ever have. So we'll talk about asking for forgiveness today, a specific kind of asking for forgiveness, the hardest kind of asking for forgiveness. The New Testament tells us again and again that we are to forgive one another and that we are to confess our sins to one another, and it implies that there is a kind of give and take, if you will. We are to experience this, and we are to focus on this if we are to be healthy individuals and indeed healthy Christians. I believe that forgiveness is absolutely necessary. It was necessary from the perspective of the cross. Jesus saw his need to forgive you and to forgive me. And I believe it's necessary as individuals that we learn to forgive others, that we learn to forgive ourselves. And it's necessary in terms of the body of Christ, the church, that we forgive one another within the context of the local church, just as Christ was willing to forgive us. So today I want to talk to you about those times when you and you alone, and I alone, because when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself, when we need to ask for forgiveness in any kind of a particular situation. I want to talk to you about those times when we're wrong, when we're completely way out on left field, when we've really messed it up, when we're totally wrong, and we know it, and the other person may know it, and there's just no question about it. How do we seek forgiveness in that kind of situation? And how do we learn to make things right? This, my friends, is where the rubber hits the road. This, my friends, is where learning to live in community, learning to live as a body of believers, is what it's all about. You'll be glad to know that though I'm not especially proud to admit that today's message is not based upon any kind of academic theory or any kind of theology or any kind of doctrine class or any kind of something that's involves a lot of great knowledge. A lot of it comes from personal experience of where I've been and where the things I've learned over the years. I've been wrong more times than I can count. You just ask my wife and she'll agree to that firsthand. And I say that just a little lightly, but I want to make it clear that this is something I don't take lightly. Not at all. And it's something that none of us should take lightly, because there's nothing funny at all about creating conflict. There's nothing funny at all about hurting people who are close to you and getting people upset. Nothing amusing about that. And so we need to be sensitive to God's Spirit, and we need to learn what it is to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Now, I broke this message down into three categories, if you will, 3 points, and the first thing has 3 points. The first thing I want to talk to you about, there are three sobering cants that has to come into the picture here when it comes to this whole idea of forgiving others. I want to talk to you about three sobering cants that you need to consider when it comes to asking for forgiveness. The first one is this, is that you can't undo anything. You can't undo anything. Now, if you've done some things that you regret, my purpose is not to make you feel more guilty, okay? So I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip, and I don't want us to think we're going on a guilt trip or anything like that. My purpose is to point out the gravity of the situation so that you can take it as seriously as you should. And it should be taken seriously. That when you ask for forgiveness, most of the time that other person will forgive you without hesitation. I was in a situation not too long ago at work where I thought I said something a little bit off to someone, and I went to that person and asked for forgiveness. It really bothered me. I went to the person and didn't even remember it. And to them, it was not an issue. And sometimes that's what it may be. A lot of the time, in fact, that when we ask someone for forgiveness, it may not have been a very big deal to begin with. But it may eat you a little bit until you get to the point where you need to clear your mind and clear your conscience and clear your heart and say, you know, I'm going to deal with this. And so when we ask for forgiveness, most of the time, that other person will forgive us without hesitation. And that's a good part of the time. But don't think that their forgiveness makes everything go away. Okay? Whatever you did, whatever you said, whatever the issue was, it still happened. Even after you've been forgiven. Even after that. The other person may no longer hold that against you. The other person may not be negative towards you, may not have any ill feelings towards you, but the fact is, it still happened. You cannot undo it. You cannot undo what's happened. You can't undo what you do, and you can't unsay what you say, right? Because it's like getting toothpaste out of a tube of toothpaste. You can't put it back in. And it's just like that. Here's the second sobering can't. You can't control someone else's willingness to forgive. You can't control that. There are some things that are beyond your control, that you have no control over. And some people are slow to forgive because they're still hurt. They're still angry. They're still disappointed at you. They're still upset at you. They no doubt want assurances that it won't happen again. There are some people that are a little more sensitive to others. And I have to be very careful sometimes because I say things once in a while that just causes people to shake their heads. And And I say things off the cuff that sometimes I intend to be funny. And they may not be funny at all. And so I have to always try to hold myself back a little bit because I am, by nature, I have a part of me that's a little bit of a rebel rouser. And I'm a little bit of an antagonist sometimes. And I have that tendency to agitate. And my wife says that my phone number ought to be 1-800-AGITATE. And It's not that I want to be that way. But sometimes I do it, even though I may not know I'm doing it. And, I don't know what causes that, but, there's a mental issue, I guess, going on somewhere that I didn't deal with a long time ago. But nonetheless, some of us are like that. We have a natural tendency to do things like that. And the fact is, we can't make someone's choice to forgive you. We can't make the choice. We can only make the choice to seek forgiveness after we've discovered what's gone wrong and after we've discovered that we've really violated that person's feelings, that person's thinking, and that relationship that maybe we've worked so hard to build up. Within the body of Christ, we need to work on building our relationships. Growing our relationships, growing our love for one another, not tearing them down, not destroying them, not saying things, doing things that are dumb and stupid, that causes dissension and causes division. So we need to ask for forgiveness, with a thorough understanding of the consequences of our behavior, with a sincere desire to make things right, and then at some point, knowing that we've done all that we can do. And if we do it before the Lord, and if we do it in His grace and in the power of the Spirit, I believe that God is honored with that. And so what I'm saying here is that in our relationships, forgiveness isn't always a given. You can't offend someone and automatically assume that that person is going to extend to you mercy. That's what they're supposed to do. That's true, but they might be struggling with it. They might really have a tough time with it. They may find it very difficult to forgive you. It might not be easy for them, or they might even flat out refuse to forgive you at all. And you can't control their response. All God requires of you is that you seek that reconciliation, you seek that forgiveness, and that you do your best. And here's the third sobering can't to remember. If you have sinned against someone, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore it at all, okay? And listen to what Jesus said here. The passage we read just a few moments ago from Matthew 5. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying that before you cozy up to God, and before you cozy up to Him on Sunday morning, and before you cozy up to Him in an environment or in a situation where it may seem like everything is all fuzzy and everything is good and everything is going well, make sure that if there's an issue, or if there's something that has broken a trust, or whatever it is, if there's unforgiveness, or if there's anything between you and a brother or a sister in Christ, that you deal with that first. That's why when we serve communion, God says in His Word that before you partake of the emblems, let a man examine himself. It is a wonderful opportunity to examine our hearts and lives. And there have been times, even though I have led communion, I have refused to take it myself, because there's been something in my own heart that's really been eating away in my relationship with a brother or sister in Christ. There's nothing wrong with refusing communion if you feel that there has been something, that there's something that's not right with another brother or another sister in Christ. And that I believe you're being honest before God. And I believe that's the right way to go. But nonetheless, here's what God says, that He's saying that you can't be right with God and remain wrong with others. You can't be right with God and have a right relationship with Him and be outside your relationship with others, wrong with others. The two just don't go together. It just doesn't work that way. If you're right with God, you're going to be right with other brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're right with God, you're going to be right with the person that may have said something against you, or you've forgiven and you've come together and you've made amends. You have to have that relationship. And here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. He says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Live at peace with everyone. And so I know churches that have not been living in peace. And Christians that have done nothing but cause problems with one another. And I'm not sure I want to be part of a situation like that. God says we're to live at peace with one another. And at times we do create that conflict, whether we know it or not, and at times the fault is entirely ours. We can't ignore it. And when we're the offender, we need to make the first move towards reconciliation. When a person enters the process of recovery and begins work with the 12-step program, and I've gone through the 12 steps, not because I'm an alcoholic or anything like that, because I've seen some junk in my life that I needed to deal with. If you have ever gone through the 12 steps, whether it's through Alcoholics Anonymous, whether it's through a recovery plan, a great ministry called Celebrate Recovery is a ministry geared towards Christians dealing with habits and hang-ups. And in step number 8, these are almost identical with the 12 steps that are given in AA. What the one step that many people struggle with, step number 8 is this, that we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Making amends. Making amends. We all need to take step 8 at one step or another in our lives, no matter where you are in life. no matter where you are and what part of your relationship with others, whether it's family, whether it's the body of Christ, whatever it is, it's a necessity that we not ignore, that we intentionally seek to make amends with other believers, other people around us, if necessary. Now, what do we want to see happen? What, you know, if a body of believers, if a group of Christians, or if individually as Christians, if we are forgiving, if we're loving, if we live out this lifestyle of forgiveness, what do we see happening? I've listed them, and they'll come up on the board here in a moment. I want to talk to you just a moment about what we hope to accomplish and what I hope all of us will accomplish when we ask for forgiveness. First of all, we need to seek to accomplish reconciliation. Reconciliation. If a relationship is broken, if a relationship is strained, you need to do what you can to remove that obstacle, whatever that obstacle is. You need to take the initiative to remove that obstacle between you and the other person. That's where it begins. Most of the time, this can happen with just a simple apology. Sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill, and it may not be a big deal at all. But to take the initiative to make an apology is a good first step. And sometimes it involves swallowing our pride. It involves getting out of our comfort zone. It involves doing something that we are, you know, totally, we have no understanding how it's going to work out and what's going to happen. A simple apology, an acknowledgement that you were wrong, that you recognize it, that you regret it, and that you want things to be right and to be different between the two of you. If the other person is a believer, and if they're close to you, more than likely they'll be quick to forgive and they'll do their best to forget. That's the way it happens most of the time, many times. And once they see that you're serious about reconciliation, it's just a good, wholesome, wonderful feeling again that somehow that relationship has been restored and there's been reconciliation. Sometimes when seeking forgiveness, though, we need to take it a step further. Not only is there reconciliation involved, but sometimes there's restitution as well. And we need to go the extra mile and bring about restitution. Restitution means that you're willing to do what you have to do in order to make things right. If you owe someone $50, or if someone owes you $50, restitution is to pay that $50 back so that it's not an issue, it's not a problem. With my grandfather, I told you about the last few weeks of the neighbor letting those sheep into my grandfather's pasture and his crop, destroying his crop. A good restitution would be for the neighbor to go over and try to bring restitution and try to do what he could to patch things up, but it didn't happen. And so my grandfather held a grudge towards his neighbor until the very day he died. Restitution is sometimes appropriate. Restitution is sometimes necessary. That's why if you're going down the highway and you're doing 90 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour speed limit, you get a fine. That's your restitution. You have to pay that fine. Someone just get pulled over lately? Anyway, not me. But if that's happened, you have to pay the consequences. And so that's your restitution right there. And it could be not just money, but it could be in other areas as well. It could be in other things. It could be some other deeds or some other opportunities for you to arrange restitution. And then the third thing that we hope to accomplish when asking for forgiveness is to seek to receive full restoration. That's the goal, to bring about restoration. You want that relationship patched up. You want it back to where it was a while back when you were just like two peas in a pod. You want it to be a happy, wholesome, healthy relationship. You want that to be taking place. You want that to occur. You want it in your heart. And so I believe that if you follow the biblical mandate and if you follow the process that God gives you in His Word, then that is possible. You want the relationship to get back to the way it always should have been, where this offense is no longer hovering between you and the other person. That can happen. And when you've sinned against someone, the onus is on you to take the necessary steps to make things right. It's on you. From reconciliation to restitution to restoration. Now, here's the third and final thing I want to talk to you about very briefly, and that is about asking for forgiveness. This is getting right down where the rubber hits the road. Asking forgiveness, taking that initiative, taking that step, whether it's being courageous or whether it's being taking a step of just faith or whatever it might be, there comes a point where you have to take that initiative in asking for forgiveness. I want to talk to you about how to ask for forgiveness, just very quickly. The three steps we need to take. I've done this before and I've also messed it up. I've done it before and I'm not an expert in this. So, you know, you learn by doing. But these are just biblical guidelines given to us and how to do this. Number one is this, that we need to take ownership of our actions. If you did something wrong, or if you said something wrong, or if you failed to say or do the right thing, then you need to take responsibility for it. That sometimes is so difficult because we are so proud. We're filled with pride. And it means that we look the other person in the eye and we say, I am sorry. It means saying, I was wrong. I was wrong. It means saying that there's no excuse for what I did. Absolutely no excuse. I shouldn't have said what I said. I should not have done what I've done. I was wrong. And for that, I take responsibility. That's tough. I'm asking you to forgive me today. Because of me goofing up and making being a pain to you. So that's the first thing. Take responsibility. How many politicians do you see taking responsibility for their actions? Not too many. I believe it takes a real man, or it takes a real woman. I believe it takes a real person of character to take responsibility. If you take responsibility for your actions, you are a person of character. You are a person of integrity. And I believe God smiles down at you for doing that. You're a better person because of what you've done. Here's the second step. Take ownership of the follow-up. Okay? Now, I'm talking about where you make restitution, where you seek restoration, and I know that's no fun. Being in the payback phase, it can feel a little forced and awkward sometimes. Nevertheless, we need to give ourselves to it 100%. Because seeking forgiveness includes seeking to make amends and seeking to make everything right. Okay? We need to demonstrate to the other person involved that we mean business. That is truly something that comes from the heart. It's truly something that's meaningful to you and important to you. And that you're ready to do what it takes, whatever it takes. I remember I had a falling out with a deacon in a church once, and finally it ate me up to the point where I went to that person and I said, look, whatever it's going to take to make things right, I want to do this. And he had a whole bunch of bitterness that he was dealing with. He had a whole lot of stuff that he was dealing with. But you know, God blessed that eventually. And before I left there, we were just like that. We were closer than we ever had been. And I believe that was God's doing. And it was because, you know, God gave me the courage. And even though I was shaking in my boots, it was tough. But it had to be done. And so seeking forgiveness includes seeking to make amends and seeking to make everything right. And then here's the third step. We need to take ownership for the outcome. We need to take ownership of the outcome, whatever the outcome might be. And it's very possible that the outcome may not be what you want it to be. It's very possible that the outcome may still be one where there's unforgiveness. It may very well be that that person may never forgive you under any circumstances whatsoever. You have to be prepared for that. And you have to do what you need to do. Take ownership of the outcome. Oftentimes, even most of the time, when you ask for forgiveness, the other person will say, oh, forget about it. No big deal. No problem. Let's move on. But sometimes they don't say that. They don't say forget about it. They say, I plan on remembering this for a long time. I plan on getting you back even, making your life miserable. They say, I plan on dwelling on this for a long time. Now, we all know, when they do that, that's to their detriment. Because they're the one that's losing out on the blessing from God. They're the one, they're the person that where there's, you know, they're being eaten from inside out. They're being it's like a cancer, and it's something that will destroy a person, that bitterness. And I've seen more relationships destroyed by bitterness than you can imagine. So we need to be prepared to deal with whatever outcome there is. Now, what I've been saying again and again throughout this message is that we need to take seriously the offenses that we commit against others. And if someone offends you, you can brush it off and say, no problem, let's go, let's keep moving. If you can do that, good for you. That's how it should be. But we should never be quite so cavalier in our own actions. If you have done something that has caused conflict in a relationship, or you've brought pain or injury to someone, and disappointment, to someone that you love, you've got to own it so that you both can get over it. You've got to move on. You've got to move on. Churches need to move on. Churches cannot afford to bring up what happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 6 months ago. They've got to move on. You've got to be willing to take responsibility for what you have done wrong, and you've got to be willing to take responsibility to make things right. That's what God wants, because Jesus Christ means newness. He gives us new life, new hope. That was not his nature when he lived here on this earth. He was not like that. And if the process takes longer than you think it should, you got to be ready to deal with it. This isn't about earning God's forgiveness. What I'm talking to you about here very quickly is really down-to-earth, everyday living. And, we know that God forgives because the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. God's forgiveness is already available, and He has already forgiven you. But what about you forgiving another person? That's where it's tough. Again, Matthew 5, 23, 24. If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and come and offer your gift. So we need to take step 8 together in our recovery to becoming healthy believers in Jesus Christ. Here's my challenge to you this morning. If there is a person in your life, if there's someone, whether it's in your family, or if there's someone, if that person may be right in this building today, or a member of this church, or a neighbor, or whoever it might be, or someone at work, if there is a person in your life whom you need to ask for forgiveness, make plans to do it this week. Get it out of the way. I don't care how you do it. Go to Dunkin' Donuts. Meet with them down by the riverside. Whatever it is, invite them to your home. Call them on the phone if that's the only option. But get with that person one-on-one and say, I am sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? What can I do to make it right? What can I do? You see, when each rift is made right, your relationship with God will move to a new level. It'll move to a greater level, a higher level, a wonderful level. As long as we're in the muck and the mire, we'll never know the sunshine. We'll never know it. And so, for the most part, I believe that this church is a loving, forgiving church. I've seen examples of it. There's been issues in the past. Maybe there's some of those issues that need to be dealt with still. But nonetheless, revival will never come unless we're willing to forgive one another. Unless we're willing to do it as Christ forgave us. Let's pray. Lord, this is pretty heavy stuff. And Lord, we sit at your feet today, knowing that we need a touch from the Master, because there's none of us that have it right. There's not one of us that's made it. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us. We know you already have. But Lord, somehow we need to see that and experience it. We ask that you'd show it to us, Lord. But I pray that everyone within this church body, whether that person's here today or not here today, might know something about what it means to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Lord, when that takes place, heaven itself will break loose. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there someone here today that would say, look, Pastor, I need you to pray for me because I'm harboring resentment in my heart towards someone else and I need prayer. I need to take the initiative of forgiveness. I need that restoration, that relationship restored. Is there someone this morning that may have that in their hearts and you need prayer? If you do, just raise your hand and I'll be glad, so glad to pray with you. I'm not going to identify you or anything like that. Just raise your hand before the Lord. There are several of you this morning. There's some of you that may hold back from doing that. But I pray for you. Lord, I pray for those who have raised their hands this morning. I believe that you would want us to be stronger, healthier Christians when we deal with issues of unforgiveness. And so help us, I pray, Lord. Heaven come down and glory fill our souls with all your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you want to touch us and make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anyone here this morning would like me to pray with you for any reason, I'm here, okay? I'm here to help you. I want to be your servant. And I struggle with these things too, okay? So let's close this morning. And I'm, here I am again. I'm going to get fired one of these days for keeping you guys for so long.